The views and opinions expressed on the cap are those of the hosts. They do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Old North Media. Any opinions stated aren't intended to offend anyone.
On this episode of the Cap Podcast, we react to We Still Don't Trust You by Metro Boomin and Future. Welcome back. This is episode 505 of your critical but accurate tour through hip-hop, the Cap Podcast. We are your tour guides. I am Nate Sperling. That is Taylor McLeod. Thank you for tuning in on YouTube, listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you might be listening to your podcast. Do us a favor. Feel free to subscribe to the channel. Give us a like. And just follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at Old Milk Media. That being said, we have lots to talk about today, as we already established. But before we get to that, Taylor, how are you doing today?
I've had this answer ready since Thursday night, since like 10 p.m. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time Thursday night. And it directly relates to this album. So normally I have like a feeling about something else, like sports or weather or some other, you know, whatever. This relates directly here. I feel really good. This album really made me feel good about my principles as a human being. Because I listened to 11 songs. There's 25 songs in this. I listened to 11 and I went to sleep. It made me feel good that not even Future and Metro Boomin could make me sway on that opinion. Like, I was like, this is much far too long. I have to rest.
All right. So on this episode of the Cap Podcast, we will be discussing We Still Don't Trust You by Future and Metro Boomin. This album contains two discs. Disc one is 18 tracks long, 1 hour and 9 minutes long, and it features The Weeknd 3 times and J. Cole. And disc two is 7 tracks long, 19 minutes long, featuring Lil Baby and ASAP Rocky. Altogether, like Taylor said, it's 25 tracks long and 1 hour and 28 minutes. That being said, we're starting with disc one. Feel free to join the conversation in the comments below. That being said, Taylor, what is your reaction to disc one of We Still Don't Trust You?
So I have like kind of like a split reaction. So my reaction to the album by itself, the disc one, so the first 18 tracks, is like, it sounds like they had a great time making this album. Like, this is like, sounds like Metro Boomin is like, all right, we need to have a little more like groove in our life. You know what I mean? Like, let's get this. It doesn't have to be sad. It doesn't have to be, you know, Future and Metro. It can be like, all right, let's make some bangers. Let's make some like 80s dance music. All right, I'll make the 80s beats. Future, you get on, and then The Weeknd, you just sit on the couch, and whenever we need you, you be ready. All right. It sounds like they had a ball making this. Like, that was my first reaction. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is great. Now, within the context of the name of the album, We Still Don't Trust You, and how the first album went and the rollout up to this, the first disc, within the context, it's almost like, hang on, why is this the album that came out in the context of this? Because it's like, we have this like, this beef bubbling up between, you know, everyone, Future, Metro, Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole, everybody. So we've got this build up for 2 weeks. And then the first song is like this, like super crazy, like 80s, like Future's like singing on it. And it's got like the like video game voice where it's like, still don't trust you. It's like an unbelievable start to this thing. So the music, I had a ball listening to this, and it sounds like they had a great time making it. Within the context, it was a little confusing, but it's pretty easy for me to be like, all right, Future Metro, I don't need to think of anything else. So my first reaction was, this is really like fun. It doesn't hit the same way that Hendrix hit after Future in 2017, where it was like, oh, we had the more melodic album come out second. It's not quite to that level, but it still is like, all right, these guys are capable of a lot. And again, like we said last week, Metro puts Future in positions that no one else does to succeed musically. So I can certainly appreciate that.
Yeah. Quick question. Do you think if this drops immediately, the week immediately after We Don't Trust You, so probably like 2 weeks ago, do you think it has the same feeling of the Future Hendrix back-to-back albums, double albums?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I've been listening to We Don't Trust You a lot still, like every day since it came out. So I still have that feeling of it's like, it's so soon after it, but I more say like the feeling of Hendrix, because Hendrix is like maybe my favorite future project ever. Mm-hmm. So it's like that one, I hold it in such high regard, and I wouldn't put this up again. Like, We Still Don't Trust You, to me, it doesn't stand with Hendrix. But if they were closer together, it may have felt different because what, there was 3 weeks in between these?
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
Yeah, so, I mean, potentially, but I think the Hendrix comparison to me is more like a, it's not Hendrix.
Yeah, I got you. So, first of all, the fact that we have three projects from Future and Metro Boomin, that's great. That just means that hip hop is healing. You know, like everything just seems right when it's either when Metro's producing at the highest level and he has one of the best rappers of all time on his beats. Everything just seems right. So to that point, it just reminds me of the Future Hendrix that we were just talking about. Just the understanding that one is going to be more towards hip hop and the other one's going to be more towards R&B. But I think this one is more of an R&B album. However, and this kind of shows Future's versatility. A lot of the R&B songs that he has can be hip hop songs and vice versa, because there are times where he will sing on the hook. Like he's giving more, he's dragging notes out more on this album. But he can easily do that on a hook on one of the songs on We Don't Trust You, and it would still be a hip hop album. So, just showing the versatility here. I also think this might have more legs than We Don't Trust You, just for the simple fact of it's R&B album one, and two, The Weeknd is on this three times. And having The Weeknd on it three times, like I know for, like, it doesn't even matter if, like, obviously The Weeknd makes good music. The Weeknd, Metro Boomin, and Future make great music together, but it's like one of those things where it's like too big to fail, where like you just have like three of the biggest names in their respective genres coming together or subgenres coming together. And because of that, it's just too big to fail. So because of that, I think that this might have more legs than We Don't Trust You. But overall, for me personally, subjectively, this isn't necessarily my favorite Future version of Future. My favorite version of Future is more the hip hop DS2 type Future, which is what we get on this too, which is why I really love that. But the reason why it's not really like it's, I'm just not really that much of a fan. Like, I don't really replay ballads like in my daily listening diet. I don't really like have like the singing ballads or anything like that. I just like hip hop, like just really just straight up hip hop. Like other things like Pink Panthers might go in there and stuff like that, but mainly for me it's just hip hop. So this isn't really my favorite type of Future, but it's still really, really good. And even I can recognize, someone who isn't really much of a R&B fan in the first place, can recognize how great this album is and how great Future performs on it. I also like how, like, it's just a completely different sound from We Don't Trust You. Some things are similar, but Metro is good enough to, is good, not even good, great, to the point where things can all be cohesive together, but still you can recognize the difference in sounds. And we can, like, if we put We Don't Trust You to We Still Don't Trust You, there's a clear difference in production. There's a clear difference in tempo and stuff like that. Really from the first song, like We Still Don't Trust You, it doesn't really sound like a Future song in the first place. It sounds like a Weeknd song. And having Future be able to step into the Weeknd's world, and the Weeknd can step into the Future's world, and we see that on the other two tracks. But seeing that versatility between those two artists, knowing how big they are and how big they will continue to be, along with Metro being able to put them in the position to do that, I think that solidifies Metro's claim for the producer of the year already. And we're supposed to, these are two projects that we have from Metro. We're supposed to have four this year, and all, like, it doesn't matter if the other two drop. Like, I know one of them is probably supposed to be JID. I'm not sure what the other one's supposed to be, probably Somewhere in the Wind somewhere. But overall, like, this solidifies to me that Metro Boomin is the producer of the year, like, just straight up, because he's, what is this? The last one was what, 18 tracks maybe, like something around there. This is 25. That would be 35, let's say 43 tracks, and all 43 of these tracks like slap. And it's because of Metro's production, Metro being the glue. Also because of Future being one of the greatest rappers we've ever seen, and also The Weeknd coming in and out, chiming in and when he gets the chance to. So all together, like, this just a complete body of work when you think about all three discs, if you will, for We Don't Trust You or the We Don't Trust You saga.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think we have a lot of rapper producer albums where it's like pretty much it's like the rapper's album, but the producer made the beats on it. When it's Future and Metro, especially here, like on this, on these two projects here, the disc one, disc two, and then the first one, this is just as much a Metro project as it is a Future project. And I think that makes it easy for me to like enjoy these first 18 songs, to be like, all right, yeah, like, you know, this, it's not just like I'm not just locking into it because I'm like looking for, you know, one of my favorite rappers, favorite artists of all time to do their thing. It's like, no, it's like this combination of a rapper and a producer. Like, that's what I'm here for. So I think for me, at least, that's been easy to enjoy. Like you said, it's like 43 tracks or something like that. It's made it easy for me to at least enjoy all of them. I wouldn't say that, like, I'm going to come back to every single song across these, you know, 3 or 2.5 projects, however you want to characterize it. But it's still like going into being like, yeah, this is Metro, like kind of like showing off a little bit too. It's not, he's not just like 21-year-old Metro trying to make these beats for Future. It's like, no, this is Metro Boomin showing what he can do and what the both of them can do together. I know that I'm excited for disc 2 as well. So are there any tracks here that like stood out to you? Cause there's a few that stood out to me that probably deserve a mention, but for the most part, I think a lot of them blend together. So there's only a few that really, really stand out like that.
Yeah. So I think the first thing we have to, well, I already acknowledged the first track, We Still Don't Trust You, and how it's more of a Weekend track than a Future track, but Future glides effortlessly on it. I think on Drink and Dance, we have to acknowledge that Chris Brown has some vocals on there. Chris Brown, also another known Drake hater, has joined the group of Drake haters to basically create this body of work, which is interesting. But I think the first thing that I do want to point out, or probably the most important thing, or the thing that got the most attention just over the first 24 or however long hours that we have been listening to this, is The Weeknd on All to Myself, where he says, these niggas always yapping, yeah, I promise that I got your back. Oh, look how they move, how we moving, baby, moving, baby. They can never diss my brother's baby. And then there's an ad-lib Future. When they got leaks in the operation, I thank God I never signed my life away. And we never do the big talk. Their shooters making TikToks got us laughing in the Lambo. So that's the most direct that I expect The Weeknd to get with when talking about Drake. But it's just, again, it's just like the Drake hating Avengers just come together, and it's just somehow it just happens that all the Drake hating Avengers are just like arguably some of the greatest artists of all time, and because of that the music is just so great. And then with that, it's just seeing them take these shots, because Drake has been taking shots at like really all these people for years. Like, it's like one of those things where they, like, we as fans may not know, but like the people who the shots are intended for know. So it's really just like one just big get back. And I think that All to Myself is The Weeknd's chance for his get back.
Yeah, I mean, I have a funny feeling that Drake will probably get his get back at some point here. But hey, I think another little piece to this puzzle is, did you, on the song This Sunday, did you notice anything?
Not really.
The hook from This Sunday, it's the hook on Feel No Ways by Drake.
Oh.
Future's been credited as a writer on that since the beginning. So it's not like this crazy like revelation, but it is interesting for what, 8 years later now, for Future to dig up this, because This Sunday sounds more like a demo than some of the other tracks.
Yeah.
It is interesting that in the middle of all this, he's pulling up this track that he made, this hook that ended up being part of the hook on one of Drake's, like, I don't know if Feel No Ways is one of his most popular songs, but it's one of the songs that people point to when they talk about Drake as like an artist and not just like the pop star. They always like Feel No Ways. So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was a little petty move by Future and Metro to be like, hey, we made part of that. It didn't, no one talked about it as much as I thought they would, but I thought in the context of all of this, that things would, that would get pulled up a little more. But man, this whole first 18 tracks, there's like a level of, it's like a subgenre of Future's music, because he has like his own genres, it feels like sometimes. A lot of these first 18, like Drink and Dance and even Jealous and like Nights Like This and Came to the Party, when Future's like happy, it's like this whole other genre of music. He makes this like this kind of like beautiful version of his own music, where it's not sad, it's not like paranoid, it's not flexing, it's just like kind of like he makes these like love songs, because obviously we know about other love songs that are like drenched in sadness though, right? Like, they're not like throwaway. You could be like, oh yeah, that's about, you know, love, I suppose. But when he gets really where it's like it's all positive, It's just like it's this version of Future that, like you said, that it's probably not your favorite, but I think it's like this amazing thing that he's able to do. And I don't know, it's so interesting that all of this is happening within this context, because there are songs here that I feel like, especially with summer around the corner, would be able to at least have some like, hey, like this is kind of like Future doing, like giving us like lighter, like maybe not party music, but kind of like just like having a good time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, enjoying life kind of music. Yeah. So those, like, it's just, I don't know. This album following the other one, and then we have disc two. It's just, I said it's like a Future and Metro collab, and it is, but like the more we talk and the more I think about it and I'm like looking at the track list, it's like, yeah, Future is really, I don't want to do any more big three talk. Like, I'm sure me and you will get into it as time goes on, but it's like, in terms of like most versatile, most accomplished, most talented, like Future's right up there with his generation. And to me, a lot of the times, to me, like, he is the best from this whole generation, like, because he could do so much, and it's in such like a authentic way whenever he does it. Cause it's always like when Drake takes on a personality, he's like in that personality. Future does things Future's way, but a bunch of different things. So it's like, it's really, I'm just rambling, but the more we get into it, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the more I think about it, the more I think, like, first of all, if we make this a Fantastic Four, Future is definitely in it, one. And then two, I think when you compare overall bodies of work, when you compare classics, when you compare hits, when you compare cultural impacts, there might be a chance, like, if we're just comparing artists and their discographies, Future's might be the most qualified to stack up against Kendrick's, because Future has the classics. He has more classics than Drake. He has the hits. He has a cultural impact the same way that Kendrick does. Like, Kendrick has four classics. Future, I'm sure we could probably point out two or three classics in his discography. Drake, we can really only point out Take Care. So, like, because of that, Drake is kind of eliminated from this conversation in terms of classics. But the more and more you think about it, they might not be in the same lane, because, like, Kendrick is more of a lyricist. He's more, like, to his music, more, like, societal impact, if you will. But in terms of, like, artsy, cultural hip-hop impact, Future might have the same amount of impact as Kendrick. And from that standpoint, they might be the top two.
Well, we can agree to disagree about some things that were just said like they were fact, but that's neither here nor there. When it comes to impact and what we have seen, you know, this genre transform into over the last decade and a half, like, I think there's an argument to be made that Future's far and away the most impactful. Like, Charlamagne said it on the intro to the disc two, like, there aren't Kendrick clones, right? There aren't, people have tried to be Drake clones. It's like, people have tried to be Kendrick clones, right? But like, we have a whole, like, multiple generations of rappers now who are like, I don't want to simplify it so much to say that they're trying to be Future, but like, we have a lot of people who are essentially like doing their best Future impression, and it works for some people, it doesn't for others. But like, when we like put Drake aside, we're just talking Drake or Kendrick and Future. Like, I think there's an argument to me that Future is like the one who's like kind of stands alone here.
Yeah.
Cause no one can be him, right? Like, you can rap well, like anyone else. You can make a pop hit. You can get philosophical and societal, like you said, and you can, you know, there's like, but you can't be Future.
It's also the effortless swag that Future has. And I think that is what makes it, like, I think when you say nobody can be Future, nobody can also be nobody can be Kendrick Lamar. And it's like, then it kind of gets into splitting hairs between which feat, if you accomplish it, is more impressive. Is it more impressive to be a genuine Kendrick clone or a genuine Future clone? And this is a thought that I just had within the past 2 minutes, so I don't have an answer. You might have an answer. No. But I think that it's something that is definitely debatable.
Well, it's like you can't be any of these. Any like these top rappers of our generation are pretty like you can't be like, you know what I mean? Because if you could be them, then there would be others. And like, yeah, there's a reason that we're 15 years into all of their careers and we're still like future Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and future Drake, Kendrick Lamar, we'll leave it at that, are like the top of the conversation right now. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason that that's happening. And if all these other, because like 2 years ago, we were having the who's the next big three, and it was like, is it Lil Baby, Jack Harlow, and someone else? And it's like, no, you know, like look where it's like, it's a moot point. It doesn't matter. But when it comes to the effortlessness of what Future does, because you can tell that Kendrick tries hard. You can tell that Drake tries hard sometimes. Future, you don't even know. It's just like, yeah, this just comes out of him. This is just who he is. So you kind of like throw your hands up, and it's just like, I'm so glad that like I am a huge, I'm so glad that like I'm a Future fan sometimes. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, maybe I'm more thankful for that in this music than anything else. That like his music, whatever switch that people have in their head, that mine is like, yeah, this makes sense. Like, this is incredible. Cause I know a lot of people who are like, I don't get it. Right. It's like, it's not maybe linear. I don't know, but I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. Just to wrap up disc one, a couple more things. Ty Dolla $ign has vocals on Gracious. I don't know if people caught that, but he does.
Yep.
Came to the Party. Love that track. Probably, that's probably the catchiest hook on disc one. So I really like that. Nights Like This, it just reminds me of Calling from Across the Spider-Verse soundtrack, another Metro Boomin produced track. And then let's talk about Red Leather, or J. Cole's verse on Red Leather specifically. People think that when J. Cole says, my energy was never on some toughest nigga shit, he's referring to why he ultimately deleted 7 Minute Drill in the first place, but the timelines don't really line up, because we had known that J. Cole was in the studio with Metro Boomin like months before any of this even happened in the first place. So it's most logical to believe that J. Cole recorded that verse sometime when that video of J. Cole and Metro, or maybe like picture of J. Cole and Metro had surfaced. So I don't think J. Cole's really responding, or he doesn't, it just doesn't make sense linearly in terms of time. I will say, I did see this one theory, and if it's true, we have to put some respect, we have to restore the respect that we have on J. Cole's name. Like, honestly, me personally, like, J. Cole apologizing to Kendrick on stage, like, that doesn't really impact me as much, because like, J. Cole has always been someone who seems to be more for the friendliness, the competition of it, just like the, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess the camaraderie amongst rappers. Yeah. So that just seems like directly in, on brand for him to apologize for. Like, that's something that, like, also, like, and there's a little nuance to this in terms of, like, in terms of hip hop, what J. Cole did is a cardinal sin. Like, you don't apologize for diss tracks. You don't do that at all. But we talk on this podcast all the time about artists who have grown, like 21 Savage, artists who failed to grow, like Nicki Minaj, and we appreciate the growth in the artists, and also just as a person, we appreciate that as well. And what J. Cole did shows outside of hip hop, because hip hop is really just like it's an immature genre as well. So like, if you're like 50 years old, still living by the rules of hip hop, it's like, I don't really know what to tell you. Like, but J. Cole being able to, as a human, grow in that way, to recognize that this wasn't really me. Like, I did something that was out of my character, and I don't really agree with what I did. And to be able to apologize on a national stage like that, I think that's huge. Like, that's just like straight up maturity. And we've been talking about this all year in terms of the grownups are in the room, and what J. Cole did is probably the most grown up thing that any of these rappers are going to do. So that's why it's a little bit more nuanced to me. But overall, like, I like the verse on Red Leather. I think that's cool. But we don't need to kill J. Cole for this.
No.
Like, it's like, okay, like, it wasn't even that big of a deal in the first place. Like,
he removed himself from the situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why, like, I just, like, when we're talking about it, it's like, all right, the three people left in the mud, or I guess four if you include Metro, it's like three people right now who are in it are like Future, Kendrick, Drake, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that plays out. But like, J. Cole pulled himself out of that situation, so there's no need to keep like bringing him back to be like, what, like, why'd you do that? You know what I mean? It's like, hey, he did what he did. whatever. That it's in the past.
Yeah. Now let's get to disc two, or as I'm going to call it, DS3. As soon as I heard it, as soon as I heard the first track, because like the intro was like, it was cool. I'm having Charlamagne talk about how it's a Fantastic Four, and I'm gonna take that because like it is a Fantastic Four. But having that into Nobody Knows My Struggle, that could have been made 10 years ago. Like genuinely, it could have been made 10 years ago, and it just sounds like that DS2 era of when we had like mixtape after mixtape, then album, then mixtape. It just brings me back to a place in my childhood when everything was okay.
Do you think that some of these were made back then? They sound like it. Like
they do.
Some of the instrumentals really sound like 56 Nights, mm-hmm. Purple Rain, like that era. Like it mm-hmm. really sounds like it.
Yeah. So either way, this is a testament to the greatness of Metro Boomin and Future. If these were made 10 years ago and they're still slapping today, that shows how great their music is. It shows how much longevity their music has. If they just made this within the past year, that shows how great they are in terms of being able to go back to an era and recreate the era verbatim. So either way, like if these are 10 years old or if they're 1 year old, either way, I am satisfied with this too. Like this is really the story of We Still Don't Trust You, in my opinion. Before we get to songs that we like, let's talk about what everybody is talking about. Let's talk about ASAP Rocky on Show of Hands. Verse one. Oh, this is him rapping. Verse one, call up Pluto Metro, should have put me on the first one. Niggas swear they bitch the baddest. I just bagged the worst one. Niggas in their feelings over women. What, you hurt or something? I smashed before you burst, son. Flacco hit it first, son. Still don't trust you. It's always us, never them. Heard you dropped your latest shit. Funny how it came and went. Okay, so what are your thoughts on this ASAP Rocky verse on Show of Hands?
We talked about it a little bit when it happened, but it's like, yeah, like Rocky has every right to jump in here. You know what I mean? It feels like it's only right. And it's especially for him to, I don't know, appear on Show of Hands, but like the verse wasn't very impressive to me. And then it's really like he undercuts himself a lot. Cause I think he really is stunting for a while. And then when he says like your recent shit came and went, it's like, you should have just not talked about music, Rocky. You should have just left that alone. Cause like testing whether you like it or not, that is what, 6 years ago now?
Yeah.
It's 6 years ago. You've been teasing an album for years after that it's had different names, different producers, different, you're in the studio with different people. So it's just like, we all know why you're here. You have every right to be here, but it's like, maybe, I don't know. He had this verse where he really is saying a bunch of stuff that's like, it's a pretty good, like, you know, he's gotten his little jabs in, and then it's like, but the music shit, then it's like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Like, same quick thing with Cole. It's like, don't lie about it.
Basically. Yeah. We like realness in our raps. We don't like the lies. So yeah. Like the last two lines about, heard you dropped your latest shit, funny how it came and went. It just makes no sense. I think that the verse is much stronger without those two lines. But everything else, like, I mean, as a man who is dating Rihanna, and has children with Rihanna, he has to jump in because Drake has been subbing Rihanna for years. So like he absolutely has to defend his woman's honor here. And he does a good job of that, but it's just like towards the end, like I don't really need that. And also in general, like, again, like in me understanding why ASAP Rocky is here, on this album, I could do without it. Cause I'm having like 2015, vibes of DS2 again, or like March Madness, 56 Nights, Monster. Like I'm having those vibes, and
That's the last time Rocky was hot.
But I just have a tough time believing that during that run there would be an ASAP Rocky Future song somewhere, like with Metro Production.
I think that one is definitely new.
Yeah, 1,000%.
That one's definitely like the first
the immersion of it, honestly.
The first five songs feel like they could have been made anytime, and even mm-hmm. Streets Made Me a King. That mm-hmm. one feels like it was definitely made recently. I like what you said about it feels like DS3. I think it's, you know, I prefer a full DS3, but You know, who knows if we're ever going to get that. I'm glad, like Metro said it on Twitter. He was like, yeah, we added those seven on just for like the fan. You know what I mean? It was like very much like, here's this. Like, you listen to this whole first album, this whole second album. Here's seven more. You know, normally I don't love stuff like that. But when you're Future and Metro Boomin, you can do that. And I'll be a little more lenient. I'll rule with a less heavy hand than I normally would.
Yeah. One other critique of this too, and this is just me being selfish in terms of maybe I'm asked for too much, but we got a Zaytoven beat on We Don't Trust You. Can we get another one on this too? That's just me asking, because the Zaytoven beat, I've been listening to it over and over and over again, and it would have been nice to have that. We have a lot of Southside here. We have Honorable C-Note on this too as well, which is nice, but Zaytoven probably would have, for me, it's already full circle, but it would have brought it more full circle for me if we had Zaytoven here.
I'm fresh off the plane with them Zay Tiggies.
Do you want to talk about playback value for the overall?
Ain't got no one to smoke one or poe with me. No, yeah, for sure. I think disc two, you said something after we talked about Cole last week, which was a great point. And it's the same thing that'll happen here. Future has a big enough fan base and Metro has a big enough fan base and the music is good enough where we'll keep this alive for however long we want, right? Because like you said, if these songs were made back then, it's a testament to their, like, you know, their longevity in that way. And when I listen to old Future, it doesn't feel like a song from 2015, right? Or 2014 or 2013. Once you get back to like 2012, you're like, all right, this is 2012. Mm-hmm. But after that, it's definitely like more timeless music than a lot of other artists are making. So my playback value here is like, this will last as long as Future fans want it to last. There's songs here that are going to last, right? And then you throw in like the Dreamville fan base on Red Leather. I'm sure they love that song. Like Cole's Verse is nice.
The Weeknd fan base as well.
This is definitely lasting throughout this year. Especially because, like you said, it's 43 tracks. You have this huge mass of music, right? It's like not super easy just to like forget that. So I'm giving this easily through the rest of the year. And then for Future fans, Metro fans, whoever else, we're going to take tracks from all of this that'll go forever. Like, you know, like Jealous is getting played. Yeah. That's going in my Future rotation, right? Like Came to the Party, going in my Future rotation.
1,000%.
You know what I mean? So like these, subjectively and objectively, this is lasting.
Yeah, I agree. Future has a huge fan base. Metro has a huge fan base. J. Cole has a huge fan. Like all these artists really who are, even like ASAP Rocky, like for
and
for
Weekend too,
like,
and The Weekend.
Yeah, like The Weekend, like Lil Baby's on here too. Like, I mean, I don't think we're gonna really talk about the Lil Baby verse, but it was a good verse.
It was good too.
But yeah. it's just like there's just so many other priorities above talking about Lil Baby here that we're just not really gonna do it besides the 10 seconds that we just talked about it. But like overall, I agree with you. I think that this is gonna last forever for Future fans, for a lot of hip hop fans as well. Just because of, once again, the moment that is going to, like, we already have a leak of a Drake diss track that appears to be real off of this. So just because of the moment that is going to be created out of this, this is a timeless music. Let's get to final thoughts.
Final thoughts. The disc two, let me get disc two out of the way. I think disc two are good Future and Metro songs, right? And it's like that, to me, that was like an extra. It's like, and I appreciate it very much. Like, thank you, Future. Thank you, Metro Boomin. I don't have any huge thoughts on it. I think it's great music and they make great music together. But my final thoughts about the first 18 tracks, We Still Don't Trust You. It's what I said to begin with. It sounds like they had a great time making this. And it's really like Future and Metro Boomin showing how versatile, how wide they can span, like in terms of what they're capable of, and still making music that's good and palatable and doesn't lose one section of the fan base, because it's an R&B-ish album, but like Future still has rap verses throughout it. You know what I mean? And so it's just, I love it. You know what I mean? It's not my favorite Future R&B album, quote unquote, but it's like, it's a great body of work. I think some of the songs blend together towards the end, but like the first half to me is incredible, and I'm going to keep it playing the same way I've been listening to like We Don't Trust You for weeks now. Like, this is going to stay right there.
Yeah. Top three tracks on disc one and disc two.
Absolutely. So in order, my tracks on disc one are Nights Like This at three, This Sunday at two, Jealous at one, and then going to disc two, We have Streets Made Me a King, 3, Crazy Clientele, 2, Nobody Knows My Struggle, 1.
Yeah. My final thoughts are with We Still Don't Trust You, Future and Metro Boomin solidify their legacies as individual GOATs and as one of the best producer rapper tandems of all time. We Still Don't Trust You adds to the cultural impact of We Don't Trust You, inspiring the next major chapter in hip hop. My top 3 tracks on disc 1 from 3 to 1 are Jealous, One Big Family, and then Came to the Party. And then on disc 2 are Nobody Knows My Struggle, Streets Made Me King, and Crazy Clientele. I've been playing Crazy Clientele like all day. Like since I've listened to it, I've just been playing that over and over again. But anyway, this has been the Cap Podcast, episode 505. Don't forget to leave your opinion of We Still Don't Trust You by Future and Metro Boomin in the comments below. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to like this video and subscribe to the channel. Follow Old Milk on YouTube, Twitter, and excuse me, not Twitter, no more Twitter. Ew, no. Old Milk. Follow Old Milk on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Old Milk Media. Check out oldmilk.co for more information. I'm Nate Sperling. That is Taylor McLeod. And we will be back when hip hop tells us to be. We are out. Thank you for watching.